Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Let's get it. January 20th, David Ornstein. Tweets, exclusive, Man United to name Man City's Omar Berada as new CEO led by Ineos with Glazer backing. Will take exec leadership of football plus business, seat on board, report to owners. Highly regarded and many will see as a major coup. Whoa, when you saw this information post, what were your thoughts? How were you feeling? What was going on? I actually want to start with Terry.
How did I feel? Well, I guess I felt a mixture of emotions. Just like, I guess mostly just shock because it wasn't, I never expect anyone to leave City. To leave City and go to Man U, that's like, who does that? But I think the more I thought about it, and I just put it in real life terms, not football terms, but just real life terms, you know, that he was able to get himself a promotion in theory. I understand it. It's not something that we like, but I get it. If I was him, he got to do what he's got to do for his family. So I get it. But yeah, I think it was just a mixture of emotions and mostly it was just shock and disbelief in real honesty.
And I went to you first because I assumed this was the answer you were going to get. Well, you know, wise, thoughtful.
I mean, because I'm going to be honest with you. You know what? I've worked a couple of different places in my life, and every time I moved on, it was either for a promotion or, you know, a pay increase, even if the title might have been similar or the same, but I got a pay increase or whatever. Man, I got mouths to feed. And in a real life, take care of my wife and kids way, that's really all that matters. Now,
amen.
In this situation, I am tied to City from a fandom perspective, from a supporter perspective. For that dude, it was a job. Now, I'm sure he enjoyed it and he was able to support the team while he was doing it. But at the end of the day, he got mouths to feed. Just I assume he's got mouths to feed like I do. So I can't knock the dude, but I understand why even me, we're looking at him like, dude, that was kind of shady because it's who he went to. If he went to any other team for the most part, nobody would have said nothing. But going to Man U is what made it so crazy. But also, because it's Man U and it's so close, you don't have to move your family, whatever, made it why he would even consider doing it, I think. Again, I'm not in that dude's head, but if I can make more money, get a better position and not have to uproot my life at all, of course, I'm going to consider it. So, yeah, I get it from a real life, mature perspective. But from a football perspective, I don't like that dude.
So when I first saw it, I thought it was a bag emoji. Man's got paid, basically with everything. Like, you got the bag. And if Ineos is coming in, they do sports. Like, they know what they're doing. This is not the old United where people were doing things who had no business in there. They clearly saw him. They knew he was more than just at City, right? He was over all of City Football Group's operations. So this man has a track record. He has a network of people around the world, which is what United need, right? They need better recruitment. They need better connections. He can give them that instantly. Then I, as I was listening to Terry, I'm thinking like, oh, This also is interesting because it's basically like he basically is now Cheeky at Man U, where he was never going to take over Cheeky's role right now. There was no place to go. He was at a glass ceiling, right? If you watched the interview or the documentary last summer, right, I thought about them in the boardroom, and obviously that stayed or whatever, but that's that senior, junior position. And so if you can't go up and you hit your ceiling at a place, any place of business, and you're ready for a promotion, you go take it. So no hard feelings for me. But at the end of the day, like, as long as we got Cheeky, we good. And then he'll groom somebody else up who's going to be ready to wait a few more years. And just like Pep, right? Like, Pep will leave at some point. Cheeky will leave at some point. The goal is just to have the succession ready at that time. So just like when a player leaves, right? I didn't want to see Raheem Sterling go. But once you know you got Jack Grealish on the wing, you got Mars on the wing, okay, we're going to be fine. Like, we didn't want to see Aguero go, but, oh, two seasons later, we get Haaland. The show doesn't stop. Vince Accomini leaves, oh, we'll go get Akanji, Ake, Diaz, we good. So, like, that's how I feel about City. It's just, hey, you go and grow, and then we're going to keep winning without you. So, thank you for your service. And I hope you feel it, man. That's it.
Clarity in my head and for everyone else out there, Omar Balada has been named the CEO for Manchester United. He was, for City, the chief football operations officer. He oversaw multiple clubs all under the City group, as opposed to Tiki being just the focal of scouting development for our club and our director. Now, United have a scouting director and a head recruiter. So I'm not sure what the move here is or what I don't know Barada's aspirations, but I just kind of want to clarify what his role is going to be as opposed to what it has been for us. And I'll end my part on just saying he's a raton, because personally, everyone's got goals and dreams and aspirations, but there's a certain level of loyalty. You can have the best job in the world, but to kind of reinforce what Big T said, you have an obligation to your family, to your kids, to your foundation, to always seek and look for more. And if there's something better, that's fine. But be a person of principle. And you just went to the other side, dog. And to that, I think you think you're going to be the next person to fix it after we all know and have seen. Nobody gets the keys to the castle over there. Nobody really kind of gets it done like that. So, you know who runs you? The stock market. That tells me what's up. So.
And it's true. It's the whole, I was listening to, I don't even remember who it was, but they were talking about the investment in Ratcliffe and how it works. With what he's doing, he can slowly take control. Or if someone comes and offers a big amount of money, Ratcliffe, whatever his name is, Ratatouille, can match or the other people come and own it. So it's just like how much investment in it does he want to put in it, unless he is just okay with putting in his, what was it, 250, whatever it was, and then that flip into maybe like a billy or two. I mean, that's a nice little flip, especially if he's able to help it in 2 or 3 years. They're able to sell to the asking price that the Glazers wanted, which was more than even what anybody should be offering any footballing club, period, sporting club, just general. It's crazy. I'm with you, Lando. I purposely went with Tarek to be the wise and understanding, because this is some bullshit. I get moving up and you got to do what you got to do. I don't know where he lives, but if he lives closer to City, he needs to move closer to United. But if I was a Manc and I lived in an area, I personally didn't care not a nen about United, but you have moved up. You're now at number two under Liverpool. Like, Barca was over you guys, Madrid was honestly over you guys. Burnley was over you guys. Like, there were some teams that I personally disliked. It's hard to take you guys seriously, and I'm not taking you guys seriously now, but it's just, I know you're willing to do anything, and if that means be sneaky snakes, and that's just what you gotta do. I get it. It's all right. It's fine. Good luck. Let's flip it instead of doing me hating. How long would it take? And I'll start with Tama. When do you think you're going to see change in United for the positive? Is it going to be immediate? Do you see positive things happening in the summer?
So to me, as a women's footy fan, I think that too, like, especially seeing Skinner's tantrum this weekend, to me, I would think that the best indicator that he's actually doing something that he's supposed to be doing is what they do with the women's team in the summer, and then in next winter's transfer window. There is going to be another international competition in the Olympics. I know that the men usually send their U-20s, the women usually send their senior teams to that particular competition. Like, so what's your scouting like for that? Do you, like, you know, to Lando's point, like, he's, you know, worked all over, you know, City Football Group. I assume that he probably had a large hand in what Girona is doing right now this season. But, you know, is this real? Is this something that, you can show investment both in the women's club and in the men's club? So, like, I think, like, it's probably going to be at least 18 months before we actually see that progress.
I'd agree with the time frame, and it's something to kind of keep a lookout for as we look at transfer windows and as we grade them later on. I mean, when do we start to see an impact? You just said it. I mean, there are connections and opportunities in La Liga for him to go back on both sides with the women's game. So I don't know. I guess I'm trying not to sound like I'm stung by the signing, but at the same time, it's that club. We've seen so many other personnel coaching, training, scouting, fucking culinary everywhere. They all want our fucking staff. That's how it works. Winning's a disease, and you want some of ours. And that's fine. But you should have a certain level of principle, man. Dead before red.
I'm going to be real honest. I had to, and I know that there's a lot of City content out there that I have not necessarily consumed, but, like, and I don't necessarily know, I know Cheeky and I know the Sheik, and that's about it. I know that there are other gentlemen that are very instrumental in Manchester City, City Football Group as a whole. But my first reaction, when I heard this, who is this dude, and why should I care about that?
That's why he left.
and I guess if you want to get out of anonymity, I could see why you would leave, but my first reaction was who, why, but who? It wasn't so much the why, but the who, I guess, for me.
Real quick, I would just say I think it takes them. I think we can look at it in a year time, because you have a full summer window, you have a full winter window going into January 25, and then you can shape a whole squad in 2 windows. With a club that big, you moving up players on, you bring in some people, have a little youth movement. You do it the right way, it doesn't take that long. You don't do what Chelsea did and just buy everybody. There's a structure you could use, and I think he's smart enough to do it. Because I think there's a point where when you hire serious people, you're going to do things more seriously. So the first step was Ineos taking over all the football operations, right? That's huge, because so much stupidity has happened there, right? Ineos would have never got Anthony for $100 million or whatever. That's really dumb. Why would you do that when Kudus is right there on the team?
I'm sure they would have been like, no, go get Kudus. I'm sure Barada would say the same thing. So it's like those simple mistakes that the United has made, I don't think they're going to make those anymore. Does that instantly improve them on the pitch? No. There's an 11-point gap between us and United right now with us having a game in hand. So, you know, like we know where we are on the pitch compared to them. And that's why I don't see them as – I see them as inferior, not even competition. You aren't who we worry about. We worry about Arsenal. We worry about Liverpool. And we worry about the teams in Spain and Germany when it comes to winning Champions League. You don't matter. It's a cute little derby, but that's it. It's just colors. And so at this point in time, like, yeah, he got a bag. He got a promotion. He's going to be over that stuff. Good job. Good luck. But, I mean, to be honest, like, that's it. We won't hear his name again. It won't matter to me anymore after this.
I guess my biggest takeaway from all of this is that, like, the United fans that are so excited about this, like, who are saying that, oh, Omar Barada had nothing to do with the 115 charges. But, but then once you say, like, oh, but you all still have 115 charges. Like, so is it Uchiwali or is there one mic? Like, I need to know that.
Is it Uchiwali or is it one mic? Oh my God, I love that.
Shout out Nas. My bad, that's my favorite artist.
Yeah, I imagine.
Hey,
to Terrence with you.
That's a good choice. Nas is different for me, bro. I'm sorry. Nas Tarek, is different for me, though.
You're not alone anymore, Terrence, because we would be getting up on Terrence.
It didn't matter.
We'd be like, who? Jigga who?
It didn't matter.
Jigga what?
So my thing is this, right? I work in the tech industry, and at the larger tech firms, we call them FANG, the Facebooks, the Amazons, the Metas, those kinds of organizations, Google, out there on the West Coast, there was a non-compete deal. If you worked for one, you could not go work for another. And that's normal, I think, in a lot of tech jobs where you have a non-compete with any organization kind of in the same vertical, basically the same industry, that kind of a deal. Right. So it almost makes me question, is it a case that one did not exist in this case? Or is it a case where we recognize that there is a non-compete in place, but because of your service for all the years that you've been here, we are willing to let you go because we recognize it is a step up for you. I don't know from an organization perspective which one of those things it was, but obviously he was in a position to be able to take this role. And so, again, I understand it from the logical side of my brain, but I don't always live on that logical side. And so when I step across on the other side, it's like, dude, what are you doing? Because, again, it is the rival, the in-city rival. So it's hard to justify to that side of my brain. But like I said, I get it. I understand it. I also am confounded by the logic of these United fans who, to Lando's point, on one hand, it can be, oh, you guys are going down. On the other hand, it could be, oh, the dude who was managing all of this stuff had no involvement at all. Again, I don't think we're guilty to begin with, so it doesn't matter. But you keep telling us we are guilty, everybody, except for this one dude who just happened to have this big role. It's like some stuff just doesn't even make any kind of sense.
Well, so it's like, because
how dumb can you be?
Well, especially because the 115, a lot of it is about our financing.
And sure, like I said, and again, I've seen content creators come on and say, oh, City fans are admitting that they're guilty. No, we're not admitting anything. I don't think that we're guilty at all. So I don't think it matters. But if you're going to tell me that I'm guilty, because that's what all these content creators keep doing, telling me on all the different media, telling us how we are so guilty and how we're going to be relegated and all this crap. Well, if that's going to happen, if that does happen, this dude will be tied to it as well. He's not getting away. So I just don't understand the logic for United fans, which again, maybe I shouldn't, because they don't probably don't have any. But okay, go ahead, Charlie.
Crump, you made a point earlier where I think you said he came on to City Football Group. What year was it? Was it 19? Was it 20? Do you have it pulled up?
Oh, no.
You read it in the intro.
It was well before that.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
He came over with the Barcelona boys.
Oh, so he came right over from Barcelona when we left in 12. He was Barcelona. That was my only thing. I was like, wait. Okay, gotcha. I was wondering why. 2016.
He came over in 2016. Okay. He had a 5-year gap in which he flirted with others, but at 2016, he came over to us.
Okay. So there is part of it where he wasn't there, right? Because I think the Chargers start in like 2010. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't there for the first half.
2011.
But he was there for the last half. Right. And so, yeah, he's involved in something. If something's there, if nothing's there, then, hey, my man was just doing his job and people hating. Yeah. But Ineos, again, I'm going to trust them as smart money to say, we're not going to go hire somebody that's going to go down. That's just my vision of how this works. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
So I just want to correct, because when I'm not going to say I'm correcting. I am reading offline, and what I'm seeing is that he appointed as City's head of international business development in 2011. He worked his way up. It's then became the chief operating officer by 2016, was moved into a senior role in City Football Group in 2020.
That's correct. I'm seeing that.
So
as well.
It goes back to 2011 when he joined the organization.
Okay, so it's everything.
Again, but he was City's like lower head level. Of international business development.
Hmm. Yeah, so we'll see.
and just to kind of quickly go down the deductive reasoning and the deductive logic here, right? You're hiring anyone in any role. You're doing a screening process of that hire. You look into past. You look into history. You are the inside looking out kind of thing. You talk to the Premier League. You talk to him. You talk to these executives. You're having these higher level conversations about what occurred. Again, deductive reasoning tells me, and logic tells me, that if you are going to make a hire and there's an open case on a particular hire and a relationship and an affiliation, whether large or small, an affiliation is there, you would cover your ass to ensure that the hire isn't going to fuck anything up that you're doing and moving forward. Again, that's just, am I wrong, guys, in that deductive logic in how a business or a club or a corporation would go about a screening process? Does that sound like it's rational?
I mean, not at all. Like, to Charlie's point, like, Ineos knows what it's doing. Like, they're not new to this. They're true to this. So, like, they're not about to hire a man that's going to be implicated in what would be, if proven to be true, one of the biggest scandals in the Premier League in the 21st century.
But do we really know that about Ineos? I mean, because, well, and maybe that's the point, right? Because when I look at United, there have been decisions that they've made. And you're like, oh, maybe that's going to be the thing that turns them around. Oh, you know, they bring in Ten Hag, right? Very well respected, had done great job at Ajax. When he came over, I'm like, oh, maybe he's going to be the one that's going to turn him around. Doesn't appear that that's going to be the case. Ralph Rangnick had done wonders with Red Bull, right? Building that whole organization up or whatever. Came over here, complete flop. It feels like, and maybe the issue to the point is the folks that had been in place before Ineos comes in, not just the Glazers, but you know, the folks that had been in the different roles. I can't think of their names in the moment, but on one hand, I think this guy is probably really great at his job, but I don't know that, right? So on one hand, it feels like, wow, this is a big deal. This might be the one, because he's got this City background. He might be the one that turns us all around. But on the flip side, he may not be prepared for this role at all, and he won't know until he gets into the role. Just like any other opportunity you take, just because you get the, you got to work to get the role, but then you got to prove that you deserve the role. So we'll see if he can be the one that turns us around. Quite honestly, I hope not. To be honest, no disrespect to Mr. Barada, but you on the other side now. I hope you fail. That's just real talk.
Inshallah.
This was supposed to be a quick cold open, and there'd be time so then I could play the intro and everything, but we're
20 minutes. Can you call it an open when we're 30 minutes in?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. It was supposed to be it. We're not it. We're way too deep in order to say, play the intro. So, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 85 of Shades of Blue. We are the most comprehensive show about Manchester City, covering both the men's and women's game, spanning both sides of the Mason-Dixon line. We make an art over here, capitalize the A. Before we get into anything at all, what I need you to do right now, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up for us right now. Show us some love. Leave a comment on what you thought on this episode. Maybe retort to something one of us said. If you're listening on the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Goodpod, any of those podcast streaming devices, please rate us 5 stars. What's the point? 5 stars. Say something nice. Review. We appreciate all that stuff. Share. Let people know. Tag us on social media. We like that stuff. We're on all of them. If you just on your story, boom, we're listening to you guys. Sup? Hey, we like that. We want to be on people's Spotify most listened to episodes this year. It's 2024. It's early. We got plenty of time. Honestly, I don't really have many notes into today. I just kind of wanted a vibe. I know we got Tom Bomb. We got the Baby Blue Baddies. I actually have some clips from the interview. It actually was interesting. So I have some of those. Then we're going to talk about match against Tottenham that's coming up. Naturally look at the Premier League as whole as it's been kind of sputtering back, with the teams oddly getting breaks at different spots. But we had a match week that finished, so we're also going to cover that. But this Thursday, the most dangerous show about football, our most dope guests this weekend are American Citizen, the homie. He's coming back. You may have read one of his many most dope post-match threads that he does or listen to his podcast, Pep Talk. Josh Paulgardy. And we're going to try him again. Matthew, a.k.a. Comments SC. He's what he does is he hosts LA Galaxy Supporters Club. We tried to have him on, had some hilariously, probably traumatizing for him, difficulties. But we're going to try it again. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. Because if it does, like, I don't really know what to do. But I'm going to be laughing, so I'm sorry. Just a warning now. I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. No topics off limits. No thoughts held back. It's a good time during our list streams. And then, I think we're going to be doing some watch-longs, possibly, maybe, maybe not. Just look out for all that stuff. Links to all that. Shoot. Let's get into it, shall we? Okay. Tom Bomb, what are those Baby Blue Baddies doing to him?
You know, we really had to come out. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, wow. Well, then.
Update on that SOB weather? A weather update? That's update. It sounds like we just got an update.
That's a traffic update. Well, we had to break in the Joy Stadium for 2024. We also had to jump back into WSL play. So we did that against Liverpool. Also, shout out to the homie Kudzi. Please go check out her work in the Athletic, All for 11, SB Nation. We really appreciate her coming through
last week so we could talk about Liverpool, who was our opponent. So to start, of course, we had our baby hair queen in between the posts. So from left to right, we had Layla Wahabi, Laya Alexandri, Alex Greenwood, and Kirsten Kasparai. In the midfield, we had Yui Hasegawa. Laura Coombs gets another consecutive start, and Jill Roard. And then our dynamic front three, Chloe Kelly, Bunny Shaw, and Lauren Hemp, the gymnast.
I see what you did there.
If you, you don't know what I'm talking about, go check out her Twitter feed.
Yes. Here is a quick whoopsie from Garrett.
Yeah, they were all special, the games here at the Academy Stadium. I think they, sorry, I'll start that again. It's just force of habit.
What the fuck, GT?
He's messing up the bag. He's messing up the bag. Joy paid a lot of money. But they put a lot of money for them sponsorship rights. You're messing up the bag, GT. You're messing up the bag.
And then I actually have two more. This is, he was asked about Liverpool in general and how they've been doing this season.
Yeah, I made a good start. I think they're a very aggressive team. Majority of the time, I think you've seen that in the way that they try to get about it when they don't have the ball. It can be quite risky. I think that obviously you give yourself to be that aggressive is super, super difficult. We tried to do it in our game, and I think sometimes teams can really exploit the spaces that you leave. And of course, that's obviously, you're never going to be able to control all of the phases, whether you have the ball or don't have the ball. It's so, so difficult, this game, particularly with the level of players that you come up against. So I think they've done really well. I think Matt has obviously been around for a long, long time now. He's obviously a previous spell at Liverpool as well. So knows the club really well, knows the league really well. And they're improving all of the time, improving the squad. You know, their transfer business has been good as well.
And lastly, did you know GT has been playing Ruby Mace out of position?
Yeah, I think that she ideally sees herself as playing higher up the pitch in the midfield area. I think that we've accepted that and we've looked at it. But I think she's keeping an open mind also to how versatile she can be. So most of her performances, you know, regardless whether it's been starting or coming from the bench, have been in that midfield position. But I think she's capable of playing, as we know, at centre-back. I think she could play at right-back. I think she can play further in the attacking midfield positions as well. So, yeah, of course, we're working hard with Ruby and she's working hard herself. I think she's going to be important. She has been important for us so far in a short career here and a young career as well. She's a young player. And, of course, there's a transitional period when she changes position slightly. But she's attacking it well, and I think that she's going to be probably even more important for us in the second half of the season.
She doesn't want to be Yui. She wants to be Jill Roard.
I did not know that. Like, that's kind of shocking. And I guess, like, it kind of goes to the what we've seen across world football for a long, long time. Anyone who is athletic and has a nice physique, somehow they always end up further down on the pitch than they would like, which based off of her minutes in this particular match, it was good to be able to see her get up into the attack a little bit more, honestly. So City start out possessing the ball as they normally always do. And then in about the 6th minute, I thought that Missy Bo Kearns almost killed Kirsten Kasparai. I was like, oh God, is she all right? But it wasn't like a foul. It wasn't a yellow card. It wasn't a red card. It wasn't really even a foul because she got the ball. She just took Kasparai out with her. And then again, in the 9th minute, it happened again. And at that point, you just knew that City needed to make a change because she was not going to be able to go even to halftime at that point. So in the 10th minute, Esme Morgan came on, and if you had noticed what City was doing, they had a really, really good understanding along the back line of if Laiah Alexandri would push up, Layla Wahabi would drop back. If Kirsten Kasperi would push up, Alex Green would drop back, and vice versa. So once Esme Morgan got into the pitch, there was a little bit of confusion as to making sure that that cover was made. And unfortunately, that was exposed in the 15th minute, where Alex Greenwood didn't really clear the ball very well. Jill Rohr didn't really clear the ball very well. Esme Morgan didn't really clear the ball very well. And all of a sudden, it's just a cluster in the midfield. Kiara Keating feels like she has to come top of the box. And the ball falls to Taylor Hines, who we talked about, and that is the WSL player that no one is targeting about enough. And she chips Kiara Keating because she was not able to get back in position. And against the run of play in the 15th minute, Liverpool had the lead, 1-0. And I know on the stream, we were like, what the fuck? So we've seen this from City before, just the same sort of game script. So you knew that the next 5 minutes were going to be extremely, extremely important. And City kept the pressure up, kept creating chances. And then in the 19th minute, Esme Morgan getting to the byline up the pitch, puts a cross into the box. Bunny Shaw seems to be attacking it. And as Bunny goes to attack it, Gemma Bonner also goes to attack it and knocks it into her own net. So that puts us level at 1.
Let's go.
Yes. City can continue to get good possession. And Liverpool did something, and this was not something that me and Kudzi had talked about, but they insisted on playing out of the back. And I think that that was to their detriment. It was very obvious that Tegan Micah is not a very good distributor of the ball from out of the back. And yeah, it was kind of scary hours because even after that own goal, she played the ball into City players from her own box a lot. And I believe that Bunny skied one, Laura Coombs had one wide, Lauren Hemp had one wide, but you saw the chances coming. Then in the 32nd minute, another poor clearance bounces into the midfield. Bunny picks it up, gets it with, this was her left-footed goal, I believe, yes? Or was it her right-footed goal?
It was the right. The left-footed was the backhand.
Yes, that's not right.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
So clean. So clean.
So, yeah, just right past Micah, has no chance, and then it is 2-1 City, and it's, at that point, based off of the way that Liverpool was playing, you kind of felt like the route was on. Like, even though the match was only like 2-1, like, you felt City's dominance in the match. In stoppage time, which there were 6 minutes of stoppage time, because Kirsten Kasperi did go down twice, we get a corner kick. Chloe Kelly takes the in-swinger, and this was such good set-piece play by City, which is something that I don't often get to say, but I'm so glad that I got to say it for this particular goal. You see Bunny box out Gemma Bonner, who was marking her 1-for-1, and she waited and waited and waited until the last possible minute to make her jump to attack the ball, puts it back to the post that it came from, top of the net. City go into halftime 3-1, and we are all feeling great at this point. And you just kind of knew that we were going to keep rolling with that. And in fact, we did keep rolling with that. Now, Liverpool did make a few changes to their lineup. They did bring in quite a bit of pace at halftime. They did bring in quite a bit of pace with Shanice Van Andersanden, hoping that they can catch City out on the counter. But City was really not the ones making mistakes that
led to turnovers in bad areas. That was really still more of Liverpool. And again, in the 56th minute, Tegan Mika basically just passed the ball directly to Bunny Shaw. Bunny Shaw, this goal was nasty. It was so nasty. The ball rattled around everywhere. I think everyone had a shot at this particular, like, all of the forward line and Giroud, I think, had at least a touch on this sequence. And then finally, Bunny, with her back to goal, is able to just put her left heel through the ball, right past Tegan Mika, who has no prayer. City up 4-1. We continue. So in less than an hour, Bunny has a hat trick. Now, and also shout out to Gareth Taylor for this tactical move, knowing that this is the first of three matches in 7 days. He started making some subs. So he brought Bunny Shaw off at the 60th minute. He also brought Laura Coombs off and brings Mary Fowler and Philippa Engeldahl on. City continued to dominate, and it was actually very interesting to see how City set up after that, because I think the assumption was that, and I think we even said it on the watch along, that, oh, well, we might see a lot of interplay between Jill Roard and Mary Fowler, and Mary Fowler will just go up top. And the two players that we had on the wings will just continue on the wings. That was not the case. We actually had Lauren Hemp playing centrally. And it was working to great effect. In fact, it was great working to such great effect that in, I believe it was the 76th minute, Chloe Kelly put in this through ball to Lauren Hemp. And when I tell you that it was chef's kiss, it was beautiful, broke two lines of defenders, Lauren Hemp running in on goal, and Tegan Mika really did not have a prayer. I know that they called the foul inside the box. The foul actually, to me, and I think that we talked about this on the stream, the foul would, if this was a league that had VAR, that would have been probably reversed, and it wouldn't have been called a penalty, but it would probably have been a red card on Mika for denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. However, we'll take the penalty when we can get it. And we know that Chloe Kelly is one of the best penalty takers in the world in the women's game.
With her new little hop move that she does.
It's cold. It's cold. I'm not going to lie. Oh, I like it.
Yeah, because she has, like, the goalkeeper has no prayer. Like, I don't know where you're going. And Tegan Mika aggressed to Tegan Mika's right, and Chloe Kelly put it to her left. 5-1 City. Now Lauren Hemp did take a very, very hard tumble, like literally onto her face, when Tegan Mika came out and tackled her. And like, I think that we were all concerned that it was a head and neck injury, that it would be very, very serious. And, come to find out on the social media apps much later, like, it seemed to be that Lauren Hemp was in very, very good spirits. I think she posted a picture of what happened and said, like, well, damn, I think I'm in the wrong sport, and posted a picture of a couple of gymnasts. It was good to see Jess Park get into the match for her right after the penalty. And then I believe almost directly after that, Ruby Mace actually came in for Jill Roard, which felt her for a little bit, which was very nice. So City was able to, at that point, kill off the match. You did see a couple of opportunities for City. The earlier point about Ruby Mace, it was actually a little bit interesting to see her work higher up the pitch. And if you did see, she was essentially like the attacking midfielder of the group in the midfield. Like, it was not, definitely wasn't going to be angled at all. Yui could do it if she wanted to. I guess she just chooses not to. And City kill off the match. That keeps us within 2 points of Chelsea, who also won on the weekend against United. We'll get into that. That's one of my shock, saws, and applause. We'll get into that later. So we are 2 points off the table. We're in second place. And we currently are entering into the midweek again with a Conti Cup match against those Scousers. which would be Manchester United. As far as the lineup, it's kind of going to pick itself based off of who came in for who. I think that you probably will see Bunny start this match, but you might see completely different wingers start this match. Chloe Kelly did play the full 90, and she actually ended up moving inside once Lauren Hemp left the pitch, and she was the striker. So I could definitely see a situation where we have a front three of Mary Fowler, Jess Park, and Bunny Shaw. It looks like Yui seems to be indefatigable, and I think that this is like, and we can, again, same city, same passion, like our defensive midfielder plays all of the time, the person who is in the center of the midfield, like whether it be Rodri, whether it be Yui Hasegawa, like they are going to play if there is a match. So she will probably start. Filippo Engeldahl will probably start. It looks like she's got more of her legs under her. I wouldn't be surprised if Jill Roard started, but only got a half in this particular match. I'm really hoping that Alana Kennedy can come back. Also, shout a happy belated birthday to her.
He said she should. Right. In the thing. Yeah, he said she was 50-50 for the match this last weekend, but she will for sure be there for United.
Yeah, so it sounds like it'll probably be the captain, Steph Houghton, and her in the central defense. And then you kind of see where the who will be the fullbacks. I don't think that Kirsten Kasperi did not look good, so I don't expect her to be in any sort of rotation in these next two matches. Esme Morgan
will funny probably- thing about that. At post-match, he said, and I quote, "She's absolutely fine. She might be a sore one for a couple of days, but there's no structural damage. She's fine."
Okay, well, that's interesting. I could see a situation then where she starts and along with Esme Morgan as the two outside backs, and that kind of picks your lineup for for Wednesday. And then on Sunday, this is Tottenham Hotspur weekend for Manchester City, and we will be playing Tottenham Hotspur at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I believe that they also were victorious. Oh yes, they were victorious this weekend in a barn burner against West Ham, in which they won 4-3 in the last, I believe that they scored in the 75th minute. Obviously they know that they can score. So it will be important to that City continue to score goals and put the pressure on Chelsea. And I think to Charlie's point, I think Charlie had stated that the men needed to have a undefeated January. The women need to have an undefeated January. So, and as far as the Conti Cup goes, we are currently second in our group in that particular competition. The first place winner, first place in the group, goes through. It's possible that a second place team in the table can go through, but we really need to make sure that we get all 3 points off of United, and based off of their current form, we really should do that. Doesn't matter if that game is played at the Joy Stadium, if that game is played at Old Trafford, if that game is played at the Emirates, it doesn't matter, or at the Etihad or at Wembley. Doesn't matter where that game is played, we should get all 3 points off of that team because that team is reeling. And one of the things about good teams is good teams keep bad teams losing. And it appears that City have decided that they are a serious team this particular season, and we are not going to take any of the BS.
Yeah, here, let's go, baby.
Let's go. Note the ladies are on a 5-game winning streak, too. And also, while I've been sitting here listening to Tom give me this wonderful rundown, I can't help but note that how bad, give me 1 minute, because I actually,
went out of my way to look at this. Tegan Micah, you were God tier level of shit, but I haven't seen a horrible appearance and a performance like that from a UCLA Bruin since Trevor Ariza. I've been playing with UCLA names for the last 30 to 45 seconds. Kevin Love? I mean, she was God tier shit, boys. Jordan Farmar in the second round of the playoff, in the national tournament? I don't know. UCLA Bruin, disgustingness there.
Which is odd because they, like, they're, like, they've had some really good players come through there. I mean, I can, like, I know.
Russell Westbrook?
Oh, he's someone on the women's side, but you got Mewis, you got
Didasco went there.
Yeah, Didasco. You got Darian Jenkins. You got all kinds of
players. Sid LaRue went there.
Yes.
Ashley Sanchez went there. So, like, yes, that is a
Shabazz
little bit
Muhammad?
It is a little bit odd, for sure.
Did he?
But you kind of see.
I was going to ask you, did he go there? But then I was thinking of OJ Mayo, who went to USC. That's what I was thinking of. They were at the same time, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But you do see why Tegan Micah is like, she's the third choice keeper for Tony Gustafson for the Matildas in Australia, just simply because, and it's bad because if she can't beat out Lydia Williams, who would have been in high school the same time that I was in high school, and I think that we have established that I am not a young person, that is not a good thing.
Wonderful way to put that.
Did we say Lauren Holiday in that list of...
We did not put Lauren Holiday, and yeah, that's got to be...
She's got to be...
She's got to be top billing right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her husband.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Aaron Afalo?
Aaron
Afalo. I used to go school with Aaron Afalo.
Darren Collison?
Okay, Lane, don't relax. Oh, my God. Well, anything else?
I just thought he's going to keep going. He's going to pull out Bill Walton, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah. Well, I guess at that point it would have been Lou Alcindor.
Lou Alcindor, yeah.
The late great Henry Bibby.
Ooh, that's a good one. Wrapping up a couple of transfer notes. Dana Castellanos was not on the bench for this particular match. However, there has not been an announcement that she has left the club, nor has Bay FC made an announcement that she has joined their club. We did, however, get an announcement that Julia Blackstad is leaving to go to Sweden. Yes, she is with Hammarby, the Swedish league champions of last season. They are one of those. The Swedish league is one of those leagues where they have to play during the calendar that the U.S. plays because it's very cold there, and I'm sure that there is snow on the ground.
Yeah,
that's wild.
And honestly, Hammarby, they made the post hours before City did. City basically confirmed the announcement because they made the announcement on like the social media post with her and the kit and everything. I was just like, yo, excuse me? Like, this is how I'm finding out? Okay, all right. That's interesting, I guess.
Was a bit odd, but it's what it is, I guess.
It's what it is. All right, well, we can keep it moving. To men, I do want to give a quick, I guess I could use this. Never mind. I mean, I'm going to hold it. First shot call, the blah. Because we can just keep it moving. The City men, I just kind of want to talk about this away match, FA Cup against Tottenham. If we lose this match, because I don't want to even ask, how tied to you is this? Because I feel like we do this every year. I try to push how important the Carabao and the FA Cup is. I look up stats. I try to like push it as this nice historic thing. And then I go, all right, guys, who's with me? And every single one of you guys just go, no, I don't care, bro. But we won the treble last year and couldn't get the treble without the FA Cup. So I know the whole thing isn't to run the treble back, but the whole idea is to run something back. And if we can't win a treble, a double's at least nice. And I know people don't think we're going to win the PL and the CL, but I mean the FA Cup and the PL, FA Cup and the CL, that'd be nice. So is this finally the year that you guys are on board with me? We want to run this up and get the FA Cup at as well?
Man, I want to beat Tottenham. I've
never been against winning the FA Cup. I mean, I want to win every trophy, yes, to be honest.
But you guys were like, but, it's not that in person. I'm not worried about it. So I'm going to put my head in the narrative that I said is you guys are against me.
Sure. Create your own narrative. You got it, Crump.
Whatever you say, man.
There's a lot of people that create their own narratives. A lot of football fans that do that.
Stuff the guy.
So, yeah, I mean, I want to win them all. And you said the plan is not, or the goal is not to win it, run the treble back. For me, it is. Dang. We're already out of the Carabao. So, I mean, let's win everything that we got left. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but again, if it comes down to prioritization, FA Cup is third in that list.
I think I'll just add that, like, what I like about it is where it falls on the calendar, right? It's coming off a nice 2-week break. It's before Burnley, so it's not like we're getting ready for a big six club after, and it's still 4 days before that, so you get a nice recovery period. So you can go 100%. Obviously, there was news that Haaland is training. He made it to a full training match. Already know we're not going to see him in the FA Cup. Save him for the PL. Great. Kevin De Bruyne, still working his way back. Probably won't start. Great. Come off the bench for 20 minutes and score a goal. Like, everything is lined up to where we should be as close to fully healthy as we've been all season for this match. And yeah, we, like Pep said it before the season, right? Like, or whenever he said the quote about, like, I just want to score Tottenham away. So, like, if we score a goal, hey, all bets are off what's going to happen next. That would be, that's like a trophy in itself. But I do feel like we're going to win this match. Like, we're better than Spurs in every way.
Yeah,
they don't have the Kane. They don't have Son.
Yeah.
They're missing Sonny and Kane. Like, I'm riding with
a lot of people.
They don't have Heung-min Son, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that we've seen him over the years just absolutely murder us. The fact that he is at the Asian Cup right now appears to be fit, which again, we'll get back to that in shocks on applause and players getting called back, appears to be fit. And it appears that South Korea needs to just beat Malaysia, who has not gotten any points, to advance to the knockout stages. We are safe that he's not going to come in and then save them. So I don't see any one Tottenham player that they have on the roster currently that is going to save them from the wrath of sin.
Ooh, well said. Spot on. Guys, we're not pointing out the obvious elephant in the room as to why we really give a fuck about this game. You all understand that if we were to get a goal here, and even to get a win, come SLB event time, we are pressure free, boys. We don't gotta worry about shit. No curse. No, we need a goal. Oh, SLB fucked that up. Why did we get together when we couldn't beat Tottenham? All that is erased. Gone. We handle business.
Great point.
Let's do that. That's what we need right now, boys.
Yeah. I'm with it. So nobody is worried about the fact that Richarlison, I believe he scored in, what, like two matches in a row.
Richarlison. Who? I'm talking, and I like it. I like when Crump does the whole thing, right? He just has to say the thing to get the reactions. I'm not going to give him what he wants.
Lando's, I think it's more like four or five games or something like that, isn't it?
He's on a high streak.
Yeah,
I mean, he is.
No, so
don't they have a new signing too? Then they bring in somebody with, like, that recently.
Yeah, that pissed his own agent off. He wanted him to go to Bayern, and so he did a whole interview being like, he chose Tottenham. I told him to go to a prestigious club like Bayern.
Wait, who are we talking about?
He's a defender. I don't.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Timo Werner.
I was talking about Werner. That's what I'm talking about. I was talking about Werner.
That's what he was talking about.
I forgot
Timo Werner. Timo.
can't hit a tap in Timo.
No, they also got this like a defender dragon something.
Dragon, oh, that guy. Yeah.
And his.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to be afraid of a very fast white man that doesn't know how to doesn't have a good touch and can't shoot? Because I'm personally not.
Because I watched the time to match it. He did not want to shoot. There were multiple chances when he should have shot, where he was in front of goal and should have been like, sure. And he was just pass. It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. He's got the yips. Are you saying he's got the yips? I listen, famous cases of the yips all throughout sports. I would love to add. Are you breaking news right now that Timo Werner currently has a case of the yips?
We could be doing that for like a year. I think that's how he left Red Bull.
He's had the yips since he was at Chelsea, and that never left. Like I don't know if you can have the yips for what, 3 seasons, 4.
Is that the yips in England? Because I feel like when he leaves, he did do something in Germany a little bit to get himself recognized. But I feel like in England, for sure, the guy's got a case of the yips, because Kronk is right. The guy had clear insecurities in that last match. It was very plainly obvious.
I had secondhand embarrassment. It really was. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm excited then. Let's get score predictions. Like, how confident are y'all? Because I want to say, you can't be like, I want a treble, but also it's like third on the list. Do you want the treble or not? I don't like these half foot in this little lukewarm motions towards our trophies. Do you want to lift it or not?
This is what happened. John Stone starts. Manuel Akanji starts. Nathan Ake starts. That dude that just had two babies with his side chick on his wife, starts. And to Charlie's point, KDB comes in. The match will be tied 1-1, 2-2. And then KDB will orchestrate some magic and get a goal contribution in the 85th minute to stoppage time to break their hearts, and we will win, and we will advance in the FA Cup. So I'm going to say 3-2.
I'm going to go real quick. I think it's even easier than that because Ange doesn't play counter-attacking football. He plays aggressive front-foot football, which plays into our hands. And so I think they score, but I think we win 3-1, and we advance.
I'm hearing some of us say that the highest score is a 3 here. I'm going to say that the lowest score is a 3. I'm going 4-3. I'm going City win. I'm going an Oscar Bob masterclass, solidifying himself a little bit more. And I actually hope that we don't see Kevin De Bruyne. And if we do, I'm going for team minus 10 minutes. Stick him in there at the very end just to kind of get a little bit of a run and get the physio in that he actually needs so that he has less of it after the game. Hope we don't need him. But 4-3, City.
I don't think it's a case of needing KDB. I think it's a case of trying to integrate him back in, and so wanting to give him minutes, even if the game is already, if we're up 4-0 or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're still going to see him because he needs those minutes for his own recovery.
You're so right.
Not because, now to your point, if we're down, we're going to put him in and say, oh, by the way, we need you to go win this game for us too. So we're not above that, because KDB is that dude. So if all else fails, please go work your magic, Mr. Kevin De Bruyne. But we hope to not be in that position. I would love to say that with Son out and no more Harry Kane, that, you know, we roll this game, right? But I have some scars from some Tottenham matches in the past that won't let me say that. I'm going to go, you know, I think it's interesting though, because as much as people seem to be confident, all of the scores are like close. Lando has us giving up 3 goals. We win 4-3. I think Charlie has given up a goal 3-1.
That's not close. 3-1's not close.
I mean, that one's not close, but I just think the idea that, you know, they're going to get theirs. What are we going to do about it? is probably some truth to that. I'm going to go, I'm going to give us a, I really believe in us to give a clean sheet. Probably not, but I'm going to go 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0. I do think there's a two goal differential there, and he's already got 3-1. So I'm going to go 2-0.
I need your starting center backs.
Well, it's going to have to be Diaz and Ake, right? And then Vardiol is going to be out on the left. So unless you tell me, unless you tell me that Stones is physically ready to go
right now, T.
He's going to have
to. Is that what you're saying to me?
He broke up with old girl, so he's going to have to be.
Didn't he play the last one? He played against Newcastle.
Lando.
No, I don't know if he's just like, if it's a matter.
He's free. I got my boy back.
So I don't know if it's a matter of him physically not being there. I think it's just because of everything that was going on and he wasn't playing well. And we blamed old girl from the TV show. So now that she's no longer a part of his life, we expect him to be back to his highest heights, at least as the host.
So no FA Cup man?
Oh, FA Cup man. Who's FA Cup man?
FA
Cup man starts on the wing.
Yeah. Oh,
you got a Gomez star on the wing?
Yes.
Nah, he's not starting, bro.
Nah, I was gonna say, I don't think so. Not against Tottenham. I mean, because would you imagine him against, well, Son is gone, but if he gets matched up against
Hulu,
maybe. You know who I kind of like for them? And Brendan Johnson.
He's decent.
Yeah, so I don't love. Obviously, Sergio Gomez in that left back position against a team that's really going to attack us, and this is PL quality team. We can't put him there. Not in this.
So if we see Sergio Gomez, do you think this is Pep punting?
He's not going to punt.
No. If he puts him in, then he will think that there's a way that he's going to help us win. I will respectfully disagree with that, but. I do think there's something to be said, and I doubt it happens right now, but you know, we got to give him a chance to show so that somebody else will come get him in the summer. Because I think it's time for him to move on somewhere where he can play consistently.
Charona.
Yeah.
I'm
dope.
I'm going to Charona. Yes. Be wonderful. Oh, man. Oh, we're not going to bring up Calvin Phillips. Come on, y'all. What are we doing?
I was waiting. I thought we were going to do transfer talk.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, he talked about not Sergio Gomez. Yeah.
The man's KP is free. He's free, y'all. My man is free.
Is he officially gone?
It is official.
I mean, not like since club official, but like the reports are like West Ham is about to lock it up. Like,
I mean,
they agreed to the loan deal.
Did we get a Fabrizio? We got a Fabrizio. Yeah, it's Fabrizio. Here we go.
But he put it out on his. He put a video out.
Been fat.
Yeah.
What?
What's the opposite?
Video out.
What's the opposite of the cheeky with the jersey sitting there at the table shaking the hand of the new signee? That's when we know that it's official. I need the opposite of that. When the player is leaving, do we get a, you know, see you later, deuces, be out?
So what I will say is, if it is to West Ham, West Ham does a really good job at making announcements on social media. So I will be intrigued to see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's Fabrizio. Like, I saw his video earlier. I was watching some YouTube stuff. He put out the short. Like, it's just like one of those things that is finalizing the numbers and all that. But the loan, it should be a lot per him.
No direct contact, no sell-on clause. No requirement to buy.
To buy. Boys, he's on 130K wages and they are matching his wages if the details are right. Get this, on the wage structure for West Ham currently, he would be their highest player.
He's an England international starter. Like, this is a good player. He just didn't work in our system. Like, he's got to get his numbers so we can get money for him.
And I think that he will thrive at West Ham. Like, just be, like, as long as David Moyes, as long as David Moyes is their manager, they're still in sixth of the table.
Play for, like,
yeah, like they have stuff to play for. he's going to do well. Like, I think that, like, and because they are so, Moise, you know, he's going to play suffer ball, and that's going to be, like, that's going to be a lot, but he's going to break up that, you know, those plays, which is what he did when he was at Leeds, which is what he does when England plays teams that like to possess the ball. He's going to excel in that, and then he's going to, you know, hike up his value, and then I don't know if maybe Atleti decides that, like, they need a player of that ilk, and, like, they're willing to pay the money. Like, maybe that's where he ends up going in the summer. I don't know. But
Diogo has been known to like the white man.
See?
Lucas Paqueta, for the record, is higher at 150K. So he would be second on that wage bill at 130. There's a bunch of players on that roster that's at 120. Jared Bowen. They're playing Ariol, which is their goalkeeper, the French goalkeeper. They're paying him 120. But yeah, he would come in as their second highest player on wage.
Also think that, like, he's going to end up in the Premier League. It's just a matter of what other club gets him, because they're the only other club that can afford what we want. Like, we want to break even on our transfer. And so City doesn't lose money on transfer. So we either make a profit or we break even. Slightly, right? Like, I know Raheem wasn't exactly dollar for dollar, but things changed with that much time. But for a player still in his prime, who should be fit, he plays all of the other big six clubs in the last part of the season, including they play City the last match of the season, which would be interesting. Hopefully it means nothing, like last year's. But yeah, I foresee
he's not playing that match.
Yeah, so he couldn't play against us anyway.
He couldn't play anyway, yeah, so it wouldn't even matter. But yeah, I think it's great for Calvin. And they get the prestige of, like, they get Declan Rice's partner to come in, and they do well already in this year, right? It's just another body for Moyes to use. And this is what we talked about a long time ago. Like, when is he going to go? Is he out? So the fact that he lands in a real competitive club and not just somewhere where he's thrown away, like a Brentford or something. No offense to Brentford, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a really good look for him.
That is Ivan Tony erasure, sir.
Ivan Tony? You just shouted out the man who was twerking for big club status. Then I'll wait for my contract to end at the end of the summer and see how it goes.
You saw the performance that man put it. Like, cue up shocked all and applause so we can talk about, we can stay on topic and talk about everything that happened.
So I haven't been able to transfer that sound. I have to create a new shock all in Premier League applause intro. So we can actually just hop right into it. And if you want to, you can go ahead and start, Tom.
Okay, so I got three things. One, I did not know that players could move foam. Not just the ball on free kick, but foam. You could move foam and it'd be okay. That's new development for me. That was like, oh, wow, that is very interesting. But yeah, shout out to Ivan Tony for
the dark magic.
Yeah, coming back into the league, doing some dark magic. And, like, I think you said it from the account. I was like, you know, if he can't gamble, he gonna live life dangerously somehow. So, shout out to Ivan Tony. Also, shout out to Anton Tolui of Sky Sports. Please go watch his interview with Mark Skinner, the coach of Manchester United Women. Y'all remember that clip of that interview with Gail King and Robert Kelly, where Robert said, "I'm fighting for my life right now." That was Mark Skinner, the entire interview. Like, I have never seen someone fight for their job so hard in my life. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was comedy to me. So thank you, Anton, for just letting that man cook, you know, himself. I appreciated that. And lastly, a huge middle finger to Jurgen Klopp and all of Liverpool. I understand that Mohamed Salah suffered an injury while playing for Egypt at the African Cup of Nations, and they have stated that he needs to come back to England from where the Ivory Coast to get treatment on his injury as opposed to having the Egyptian medical staff work on him. To me, like, a whole lot of that just kind of smacks of, like, anti-blackness in a way that, like, I don't really appreciate. And I think that the release said that if Egypt advances to the semifinals of the tournament, that he would be allowed to go back and compete for them. I don't see why he wouldn't just be able to do that with his countrymen and their medical staff. But that just seems like bitch shit to me. I don't like it. Their continental tournament is during, quote unquote, during the Premier League season. But it is still a continental tournament and needs to be respected as such. And it does not appear that Liverpool is respecting it as such. So huge middle finger to Liverpool specifically for that. In general, yes, but specifically for that.
Who's next? Trevor?
I'll slide in real quick. I'm going to take the opposite of approach of Tom when it comes to the Liverpool Salah situation. I know me and Prump kind of talking about it because I just see it as like, hey, realistically, he's not in Egypt. I think if he was in Egypt, if the tournament was there, then I think it would be maybe different. But I feel like if you know you need treatment for injury and they're in Ivory Coast right now, you go back to Liverpool, take care of yourself. I get where Tom's coming from. It's just a, you know, just a respectful disagreement. No harm, no foul. I think for my Premier League shock, awe, and applause, do I really want to do it? I guess I got to do it. I'm going to go with Liverpool on the playing side, though. Like, I watched that match against Sheffield, against Bournemouth. And even without Trent, without the top two left backs, without Salah, obviously, who's, you know, away, they dominated Bournemouth. And Bournemouth is not trash. Like, Bournemouth has actually been playing really good footy. So for them to win 4-0, Darwin Nunez is the first player in the Premier League to have 10 and 10 in all competitions. Jota looks amazing now that he's fully fit. It was some really good footy. So, shout out to Liverpool.
Who are you, Sharpie? Who are you?
I mean, to his point, like, they played a tremendous second half. Like, Bournemouth choked the game off, and Bournemouth was the better side in the first half of that match. Like, and whatever adjustments that Klopp made clearly worked because they scored for 4 goals in the second half.
And time. That matches our limit on Liverpool getting enough prep talk on beating Bournemouth. I repeat, Bournemouth. And one more time for the record, Bournemouth. Fucking.
We spent 30 minutes talking about a CEO going to Man U. I don't want to hear any of y'all talk about caring about stuff that doesn't matter. Yes, boy. I think y'all is a collective. Us is a collective. Y'all. Yeah, way too much airspace.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I fear Liverpool, but fucking Bournemouth, Charlie? Bournemouth? I mean, shit.
Bournemouth has not lost since we smacked them. And think about how long ago that was.
Bournemouth has more goals than Man United. I was going to put that out there. Like, they have 28.
Man United is also a mid-table team. So, I mean, it is what it is, right? Yeah,
8 versus 12. But I'm just saying, like, you know, Bournemouth got some clout. They only 4 points behind Newcastle. Hey, and that was at Bournemouth. You know, it's hard down to play there on the coast. One time. But, yeah, go ahead, Lando. Who you got, man?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm trying to justify. Where's Michael B. Jordan right now? I don't even think he gives them this much love.
No. Oh, you're talking about Bournemouth. Okay. I'll say, go ahead.
Guys, I'm just going to go with the baddies with the hatties. I can't get over Khadija, and I can't get over Dobrik doing their thing right now.
Yes.
I mean, you look around, quality strikers, you come, windows open, it's the 22nd, there hasn't been much going on, but they're towards the end of the window before this league started. I recall hearing often other clubs needing players looking, well, there's no good strikers out there. I mean, Chelsea out here spending on Jackson.
What is he going to be? You know, getting these other players. There's no real good strikers. I can't really find anything on the market. And here we have case in point, Artem Dobrik. A player gets recruited. Not many people are up on him. Showing out. Does the whole taped up wrist, tucked in shirt. I mean, future Karim Benzema, anyone? I don't know. Guy's a baller.
20 matches, 14 goals, 5 assists.
Thank you for that, Kronk. I mean, he is, and you know, I think someone else has noted this. I'll call him out for it. Simple efficiency. Kronk, I believe, was pointed out about this man's play. He gets ball, he sees net, he shoots at net, he scores. The guy has been electric. And I just love to see it for an era in which I don't know who's the big news, the next big time striker. There's always a player out there. And he's case in point of not many being up on him.
Shout out to your honor.
Did Lando change his segment?
I did. I just gave I'm shocked in Dobrik. I'm in awe of Khadijah Bad Bunny Shaw, and I'm gonna give applause to Dobrik one more time.
I was like, I'm listening, like, yeah,
well played, sir.
Okay, well played, sir. Well played.
And the funny thing is, I'm with them because I'm staying. I want to give a shout out to Yorona, baby. This is Premier League through CFG. I'm just doing whatever.
Connections. Shouts to Ringo Starr coming in and just taking over the Beatles. That's crazy. Man just came in and ran Russia. Hey, damn.
Yo, King, I was going to close out later and be like, I guess I've been going to Ringo of the SOB.
He was like, I hear what you guys are doing, but let's do this beat.
Buy that White Album right now. Let's go.
That's
the Beatles slap, though. Like, listen to the White Album. You'll hear some great music. It's incredible.
Yeah, man.
Oh, hey. I thought we were doing the Yellow Submarine. So are we not doing Yellow Submarine? No.
Have you heard Godson by Nas yet?
We still need to have a few years for that. We got a few years for that.
It's territory. I'm about to
start there. Us getting our psychedelic trippy state of
this. No. Are you all good? I'm laughing at Lando. It's talking about, have you heard Godson?
I was waiting for it.
Everything comes back to Nas. NASCAR has a phrase that says, if you're not rubbing, you're not racing, which is pretty close.
That was not the crossover I was expecting.
One more time for the people in the back. Wait, NASCAR. Hold on, T.
What did they say there?
I'm going somewhere. I wrote Linton, Indiana, dog. Tell me more about that.
I'm going somewhere. Just hold on. NASCAR has a phrase, you're not rubbing, you're not racing, which is basically the exact same as if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So I am shocked that, you know, when you start looking for, you know, if you're in a competition, you try to get every advantage you can find, right? You try to look for every advantage you can take advantage of. Sometimes that means coloring outside the lines a little bit. I am shocked at how poorly Everton has been trying to color outside these lines, because not only have they already been deducted points for this season, they've been told they're going to be deducted points, or they've been found guilty and they're going to have to appeal for next season. And my man, was it Stefan from Twitter, said they're probably going to fail the year after that too. So, you know, I am in shock at how poorly Everton tries to straddle that line between rubbing and racing, between cheating and trying. It's just like, come on, you got to be a little bit more subtle when you try to, you know, push the envelope a little bit. And they are the worst of all time. They got to be the worst cheats of all time. I mean, again, I understand taking a little liberties. It's like, you know, how many players flop in the box, or in basketball, they flop when they get, you know, because again, you're trying to draw attention. It's not really fair. It's a little cheating. It's a little trying. It's a little rubbing and racing. No, Everton, they decide they're going to go all the way 3 years in a row. It's just insane. So I am shocked that how poorly they push the envelope. and how unsuccessful they've been at doing it.
2 weeks in a row, Tarek names our episode, our show, A Little Rubbing yes. and Racing.
Yes.
I was shocked when they said that that 777 company that runs Everton was doing loans with 52.5% interest. That means that Everton is running their club on payday loans.
Like, they went to the check cashing spot.
Yes, that they are the check cashing spot.
The funniest part to it, though, and this is what has me dying with what T just said, because they're doing it so out in the open. They have like three clubs willing to offer them 40 to 50 for fucking Onana, and they're like, nah, we're good. we're gonna hold on to him, motherfucker. That's a prospect right there. That's an asset. Liquidate. Nah, we're good.
Oh well, I like that. I'm sticking with Girona. Currently battling Real Madrid at the top of the table. They are at the top right now, a point ahead of Real. Real, yes, they have a match in hand. Who do they have to play? Las Palmas. You know who plays for Las Palmas? Maximo. Could our city CFG product be the reason why he could help Girona, another CFG product, lead them to a La Liga title where we can potentially see them in? Bro. You can't even let me like land?
No, they're not winning La Liga, bro. This is not Leicester. This is done. Real Madrid is winning La Liga. I'm sorry.
The story's too good.
He's a non-believer.
Are you, Sharky? Who are you?
You're not going to give him a Leicester's chance?
Like, man.
Hell no. Because Real Madrid is real. Like, no.
Look at Crump soaring. Look at Crump soaring. Look at him flying. So much joy in him. Let me pull my gun and shoot that shit down. That's what you did right
I want to be the villain. I'm okay being the villain. I'm okay.
I'm very okay.
Bro, we switching roles now. You were the one who was always villainous. Now I'm like, fuck these niggas. Like,
let's go.
Y'all ain't real. It's Monday night. This is what happens on Monday. Sunday afternoon, I'm chill. Sunday evening is great, relaxed. Monday, had a whole day off. Whole day of work, I'm done, you know.
That man said, y'all brought this on y'allselves.
Yeah.
It really like, should have got me yesterday. I would have been good yesterday. But no, y'all ain't brought it over here to the day.
Hey. He's going to start saying a la Madrid in the Slack every time we bring up Girona.
Oh, my gosh. So this Thursday, tap into our lit stream starting at 7 p.m. Central Time. Streaming live on FanFest Live. Shout out to our FFL Familia. Most of guests, American Citizen, Josh Algardi, and Comments SC, Matthew. They will kick it with us while turning up footy banter style. Watch along, babies. Yeah, we will be doing some sorts of either kickoff shows, maybe watch alongs. I don't know. We're going to see how the vibes take us this week. Follow us on social media accounts, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Blue Sky. We on all those things. All those links is in our show details. There's a little link tree. Click it. It's all right there for you, you lovelies. If you are watching on YouTube, thumbs up. Hit that thumbs up. Like the video. Appreciate it. If you are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of those things, please give us a rating and a review. 5 stars or what's the point? Show bros, please let listeners know how to find you, where to find you, how to follow. Tom, Mom, we'll start with you.
If there is a social media platform that I participate in, my handle is TomBomb816. That is TomBomb816.
You can hit me on Twitter at Tarek Peterson, Tarik Peterson, at Tarek Peterson on Twitter and or Threads.
You can find Lando at Lando Martini, LandoMartine on Twitter and X.
Find me on Twitter.com, Sharpie Charlie, a.k.a. Evil Sharpie Charlie, a.k.a. The Villain, a.k.a. I don't give a fuck about these little underdog stories. Help dogs on.
I love this baby. We make it art. Oh, my gosh. You just follow us. You know where we're at. Shades of Blue pod r shades of blue us. It's on it again. Show notes. If you just hit that link tree, it's all right there. It's like, I don't need to be saying it. So you know the vibes. Shady gang, shady gang, shady gang.